The equipment is a lot better for the cold weather these days than it was certainly back in your day, Johan, but even from our day until now.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Certainly in my day, we raced together, my friend.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Move Podcast. Today, 2024, Flesh Wallonne, a race I know very well. I won that race in 1996. We were just reminiscing in the pre-show. Johan was asking me about the conditions. It was cold back then, but it was not what they saw today. We're going to get into all that. I'm joined, as always, by JB Hager right there across the street. Had a little trouble upstairs with the lights, I hear. So that's a good background, though. I'm liking that.
I like this. What is this?
It's a Tony Berlant piece. He's an old friend of mine, kind of an old school LA artist. That's if you zoomed out, the audience would be able to see it. It's big. Looks like a big fingerprint. But Tony's cool. I got a couple pieces of his. Also over there in Greenville, South Carolina, George Hincappy. Looks like he's texting away over there.
Good morning.
What are you doing? You're buying low, selling high? What's going on?
Looking for sources. Always looking for sources.
Oh, you got scoops.
Not really, but that's right.
That's right. And our crystal ball, the sensei, Johan Bernil over there in Madrid. Johan, what's up?
All good over here. Yeah. The weather's a lot better in Belgium.
Yeah, you were watching the race on your home trainer. What's happening here? I mean, this is a new.
Yeah, I mean, I'm preparing for an event I'm doing, and the 1st of June I'm doing a very long mountain bike ride from Madrid to Segovia. So I need to be on the bike.
Very serious.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Good for you. What an incredible race! The conditions were absolutely terrible. A great win for Stevie Williams, an even better win for Team Israel. What's the second part of the team? I should know this.
Premier Tech.
Premier. I almost said Norma Tech, but Premier Tech. What a great win for them! Not his first win of the year. He won Tour Down Under. We'll get into all that action, but before we do, today's show brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how you can check yourself, not yourself, check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, use the promo code WEDU, WEDU for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/TCS. Soon to be a new link, manscaped.com/George shaving his balls for his OnlyFans account. No?
Wow. What? Yeah, I don't know about that one, but okay. Bro,
don't talk to me about balls. I thought that was appropriate. All right. It's a serious subject. But all the people want it. And I don't blame you for doing OnlyFans. I would do it there too.
Yeah. I don't even have a comeback for that one. I wasn't ready for it.
You're just like, really? Yeah. Also today brought a new one. This is cool. Then it just hit the doorstep yesterday. New partner of ours, Cuts. And y'all know, look at us. I mean, we all sit around in t-shirts and sweatpants and comfortable clothes. That's just the way we roll. But let's be real. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. Now, some of us have been afforded the opportunity to wear a t-shirt every day for the rest of our lives, like George. But today's sponsor, Cuts, that's CUTS, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. That's right. You heard it. Totally wrinkle-free. For a limited time, you can save money while redefining the dress code by heading to Cuts, C-U-T-S, clothing.com. That's cutsclothing.com. And use the code WEDO for 20% off. We're talking about the t-shirts, but they also sent me these pants. And you know what else I love about this company? Because I love getting free shit, just like everybody. Cheap is neat. Free is for me. Well, what I love about it is they sent my favorite colors, right? I got a black t-shirt and black pants. Now, I know you color nerds out there are going to say, well, black is not a color. It's a shade. It doesn't matter.
I love the website's great, too. Men and women's clothing. And I'm wearing the t-shirt right now and the pants, super comfortable. And like you said, wrinkle-free. I was very excited to see this show up at my doorstep.
And if you'd like it, if you'd like to see the man without the shirt, go to his OnlyFans account. Let's talk about Flesh Wallone. A couple of things about Stevie Williams, right? The name is so familiar to me. He is now the third most famous Stevie Williams in the world. I think the most famous Stevie Williams is the golf caddy who was Tiger Woods' caddy forever. And also there was a wrestler, Stevie Williams, AKA Dr. Death, who unfortunately passed away about a decade ago, but dude, what a win. And what did we talk about in the 44. I don't know how many people started, only 44 finishers at the finish line. It was that bad. Those helicopter shots. Did you see the hail and the rain and the sleet from the helicopter?
That was incredible.
There are times you said, boy, it was raining sideways. No. This was literally raining and sleeting sideways. It just goes to show cyclists are some of the toughest athletes in the world to ride, you know, that long over that terrain in those conditions. There were times guys couldn't even get their gloves on. They had to go back to the team car and ask for assistance and help from the mechanic in the car to actually slip the glove on. They were that cold.
Yeah, Lance, I was actually telling a story on Saturday when I was doing the tour of Scottsdale about the days in the Pyrenees or Alps when we wake up in the morning and it'd be a day like what we saw today, 40 degrees, raining sideways. You would come down to breakfast all excited, clapping your hands, saying, this is going to be an amazing day. And I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? And you're like, I'm racing against half the peloton. It's going to be a much easier day for me. And I always thought, man, this guy's got some serious issues, but you would back up your word, and those days didn't affect you very much. So we saw today guys like Stevie Williams, guys from the Northern Hemisphere, the Scandinavians, six guys in a group of 30, 40 guys, the UNOX team. Oh, those were the guys that really stood out today because they, like you said, in the pre-show meeting, those guys riding those conditions all the time. And they were probably, although not having a fun time, but they knew that they can excel in those types of conditions.
Do you guys think it weighs heavily too? Like it's a midweek race. You don't have the weekend, viewership. And a lot of people, they get out there, they're cold, they're freezing, and they go, wait, I'm going to go home and focus on Liège this coming weekend. Is that part of the factor, or is it just,
Before you go there, Johan, I mean, I think it helps that, and Johan will, I suspect, elaborate on this. This is the new course. They do the Muir de Huy four times now. Again, modern cycling, we're having to make this harder and harder just to get some selection. So what does that mean? That means you're never really that far from a central place. So it does. I mean, look, it starts hailing and sleeting sideways and it's 40 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, when you pull off, you're not going to have to sit in a team. You're not that far from sort of home base, call it the team bus, where there's a hot shower. The horse heads back to the stall pretty quickly when it's not that far away.
But at the same time, when it's that cold, nowadays they have their nutrition so dialed in, they know exactly how much they need to consume. But in a day like today, it's almost impossible to even drink water from your water bottle. I mean, your hands are so cold, you can't really eat the food properly from you. You can't take food out of your pocket. So you saw guys like Mark Hershey, who had his whole team on the front at one point, just come unglued. Thijs Benoot also was able to come back and be in the mix. But there was people dying 1,000 deaths throughout that day, that some of them actually came back. Tom Skujens was off the back for a long time, came back, was in the front with 500 meters to go. It was just one of those really epic days of cycling that I personally truly enjoyed watching, and was very happy to not be part of it.
Yeah,
I think the weather conditions were the determining factor today. Just imagine, on this hard course, I mean, almost 3,000 meters of climbing over just under 200 kilometers. First of all, with that many clothes on, that's incredibly hard. It's so uncomfortable. And as you say, George, it's very difficult to reach to your pockets to properly drink and eat. But After the race, I was surprised to see Stevie Williams say, he said, "I actually quite enjoy racing in this kind of weather."
I did hear him say that. What a sicko. What a fucking sicko.
I think that says it. Yeah. I mean, the guy actually was, you know, he was already, I think the second last time over the Mur, he was the strongest guy of everybody. Mm-hmm. Went away, then decided to wait. But I was surprised to see him finish. I mean, as you see on my background there, finish with all the gear on, you know, like the heavy jacket, the long pants, gloves. That's quite unique, I think, to see that on a race like Flèche Wallonne finish on the Mur of Huy. I don't know if he didn't have the time to take it off or if he was just feeling fine. It obviously didn't bother him on the last climb, but you know, that attack with 200 meters to go, 250 meters to go was impressive. I mean, he straight away took 50 meters, and everybody else was like looking. They were already at their maximum probably, and he died towards the finish, but he totally kept it.
Yeah. He gave, I mean, that is everything the man had. I mean, I think if that finish line is another 50 meters further up the road, I think he gets caught. I mean, that was literally everything he had. To your point of the clothing, Johan, I think it also speaks to just how good the cold weather clothing has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Let's think back. I mean, look, we would have done this race in the 90s, even the 2000s, with a plastic raincoat. I mean, you could never ride up and try to expect to win the Flèche Wallonne on the Mur de Huy in a plastic raincoat. I mean, this gear that they make now, all the different fabrics, the fit, the breathability of it, you can still function in it clearly. So hats off to all the people that have developed all these textiles and great things that if you do go out and ride in this stuff, which, look, Stevie Williams is a Welshman. He probably spent most of his life growing up riding bikes in the rain. So
there's still more weight involved in the fact that he didn't even consider taking his jacket off and was still there crushing everybody with 300 meters to go. But I was going to point out, see, a guy like Stevie Williams, probably 60 kilos. Historically speaking, Flèche Wallonne, you get to the bottom of the Mur with 100, 150 guys. So there is a true battle for position on that last lap. Today, we saw a group of 30-some guys. So a guy like Stevie Williams, which may not have been the best guy for position in that circumstance, today didn't even have to worry about that. He only had to worry about his legs being good and taking a chance when he could, and he certainly did with 300 meters to go.
On your nutrition thing, George, I just thinking back to that, and I agree with everything you said. It's just much harder to get the calories in. Certainly, if you can think about this, if you're wearing a raincoat, got to pull it up, you've got to access the pockets on the jersey. Just makes it very difficult. And it's, you know, people think if it's hot and the conditions are difficult like that, well, you certainly need, you have to be on top of your nutrition. But when it is that cold, the body is working so hard just to stay warm. I mean, you're just burning. So you sort of get lulled into this thing. Well, it's not hot. It's not, I can sort of skimp on this, skimp on that. That's not true, right? The body is you're just burning energy, not just from racing, but also just protecting yourself and staying warm. So then if you can't access the stuff, I mean, how many of those guys just straight up bonked today? I mean, I think you saw it in a Mark Hershey and other guys that just, of course, maybe they are just not suited for these conditions, but certainly people got in a bad situation.
Yeah, well, not only that, but like you said, they know how much they need to consume. They train their bodies to consume more carbohydrates per hour to absorb more, but it is impossible to train in these conditions. So they don't know how much they need. I mean, they probably know how much they need, but they can't do it. They can't. It's not like they're going out training in 35, 40 degree hailing sideways rain. This is just extreme conditions, and only a few can handle those types of conditions like we saw today.
We saw today,
I mean, I think, you know, three of the main favorites, Tom Pidcock, who won Amstel Gold Race last Sunday, is in amazing shape. Mark Hirschi, in amazing shape. Matthias Kjellmose, who was the big favorite for all the makers before the race, they were nowhere, you know, and it was clear that the three of them were really affected by the cold and the rain, and probably also not recovered from Amstel Gold Race. you know, it was a hard race. And then in the case of Pidcock, for example, I know he went in with a big motivation, but you know, the second time up the Mur de Huy, where he was in trouble already, and you have the team bus there, I think that's one of those guys who says, okay, you know, I'm not insisting here. I can't win. I can't be top 10. I'm going in the bus and I'm putting all my eggs in the Liège-Bastogne-Liège basket.
I think that's smart. I mean, yeah. You'll see how many guys, there will be people that cannot show up to Liège because they're sick. You can't do a race today and not be borderline sick afterwards.
Or not recover.
Yeah. Because it's just that much harder when it's that cold. I think we often think about hot races and just how much harder they are, which is true. But when it's that cold, man, it makes it very difficult. And to what you touched on earlier, George, yes, I did like that. Right. I don't know. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. All right. We all know that. But I'd rather race 100 guys than 200 guys. All right. So, you know, this dumb kid from Plano could figure that out. Right. But when it's shitty like that and it's everybody's like, oh, they literally say to themselves, do we have to go out and do this? So when half the field is saying that, I don't know. I like those numbers.
I remember one specific incident, Lance. Don't remember the year, if it was 2000 or 2001, but was in the Pyrenees you took the jersey there. Ochoa won. What's the climb?
Otacam,
yeah. Before the start, you know, and we still had, I think we still had, we didn't have a big bus. We had a smaller bus and a camper. Mm. I remember at the start, you know, everybody was, you know, super nervous. It was bad weather, cold. And you were in that small camper. And I remember this little window goes up. You stick your head out and you had this crazy face on. I said, this is going to be epic. And I said, what is this guy thinking? But it was epic. It was an amazing day.
Well, a lot of us. I used to call it the rain dance, you know, now, but mind you, I would never go out and ride in the rain now, but, you know, in the old days, right, they would do the rain dance. And so I would only for the reason that what I just said, if half the guys look outside and go, ugh, I really don't want to do this today. I'm like, the rain dance worked.
Well, a lot of us remember that scene in the Road to Paris series where you were climbing up into the snow and Johan's talking to you going, you can't go any farther. And it's like, I'll go down and go back up. So clearly you put in the bad weather days. Yeah. How common was that and or is that to just specifically just hit the bad weather days hoping for a day like today? Probably not.
I mean, look, we touched on it every spring classic that we cover. We just don't see. Without getting into all of the, I don't even think it's controversial, but without even getting into climate change, which I, for the record, think is real, you just don't see, if I try to remember back to my generation, George, you can speak to this better. I mean, races like Flanders, races like Roubaix, I mean, they did Paris-Roubaix in 75 degrees in sun. Like the guys would have been out there in Speedos. In our time, if that was the case, you just didn't see it. And we've, you know, whatever the patterns are, you're just getting warmer spring classics until today. Then they threw that one in there. By the way, Liège, much longer, much more difficult.
If it's that kind of weather,
throw that weather into Liège, folks, just sit your ass down, get you some popcorn, because then you got Pogacar, we're coming with the
Vanderpool
with the A team. That'll be epic.
But if it's bad weather in Liège, Lance, I mean, already now he's the huge favorite, but if it's bad weather in Liège, there is nobody getting close to Pogacar. I mean, he's amazing in bad and cold weather.
Yeah.
How's Vanderpool in cold weather?
Pretty good, I would say.
I would say. Let's get into more of it. But before we do, today's show also brought to you by Bicycle. Looking for a bike from one of the racers from Flesh Wallonne today? Bicycle, our partner of today's episode, has over 20,000 road, gravel, and mountain bikes available and makes the process of selling and buying a bike safe, easy, and convenient. check this out. I took a look around on the website. They have over 400 different Pinarello Fs, just like the ones that Ineos and Tom Pidcock ride. You can find different options ranging from $1,500 to $9,000, depending on the group set, condition, and the age of the bike. Additionally, whether you want to buy or sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box and packaging materials directly to your door and coordinates the entire shipping process. Check out bicycle.com. That's B-U-Y, bicycle.com, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. Enter the code WEDO24, that's WEDO24, to remove the seller fee when you're selling your bike. Also today, last one of the day, brought to you by Mando. George, you well, we know George changed his shirt because he said he changed his shirt.
I did, yeah.
How you smell? Have you showered since that last? Where'd you come back from? We can't even keep up with you. You fly around so much. How you smelling? Like, give us a little sniff test on the pits there.
I think I'm smelling pretty good, actually. Yeah, I took a shower right before the
show. That's because of Mando?
Well, I got the Mando deodorant on, and I have the cut shirt, so I'm good. Ready to go.
You got it going. So this is the reason, right? So they have, we learned this last weekend, right? The reason that dudes like all of us start to get a little funky, is there's all this science involved, but Mando has come up with this hack, which of course we like hacks. It's clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. Just test it out. Just like George does. That is a hell of a long time. So get yourself some Mando whole body deodorant. A special offer. New customers get $5 off Mando's best-selling starter pack with the code WEDO at shopmando.com. They got the whole body deodorant. They got a bunch of other, also, and, you know, people like this stuff. This is important, right? And I get my wife likes stuff like this. Aluminum free. We have no idea how much crap is in the products that we've just used our whole lives. Baking soda free, cruelty free, dye free, and vegan. Again, head on over to shopmando, MANDO.com. $5 off. Use your code WEDO. What else stood out today? What did I make?
Another thing, I just got the information.
Got the about times? The yeah.
Times. Yes. So
I'm so curious. And just to set it up, Johan, and I texted Johan right when the race finished. You know, he's got all these these weirdo bike data people that look at these things. And this is a perfect race for that. The Muir de Huy has been and always will be the same climb, right? They know where the start line is. They know where the finish. It's very easy to track the times. I was just so curious. Of course, they did do it four times in total, but with those conditions, like, where do the times stack up over previous editions?
Mm. Yeah, well, it's the slowest one of the last 20 years.
Yeah, I believe that.
So, and I think it's logical, you know, after such a hard race, the guys were just dragging themselves to the finish. So for example, compared to last year's winner, Tadej Pogacar, who did it in 2 minutes, 46 minutes, the last kilometer of Muro.
2:46. Yep.
3:11. 3:11. Wow. So that's 26 seconds, 25 seconds, slower. When you won in 1996, mm-hmm. did 3:05. So they even went slower than back then. And that's 30 years.
That's saying a lot.
Well, that's almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago. So yeah. It's a long time ago. So
that's all the conditions.
For sure.
You know, close to 5 hours out there in those cold temps, the body just can't, I'm telling you, have no energy at the end.
Wow.
And so in Pogacar's 2:46, that was the fastest ever.
No, there was one guy who did, actually Philip Gilbert. Valverde has 2:41 in 2004. Wow. Yeah. So
that's a fun thing to play around with. Yeah. I haven't thought of Valverde in a minute. Lovely guy, Hall of Famer. I know he still rides all the time, still trains with the team. I would bet my life he'd have been in that front group today.
With that kind of weather, I don't know. I don't know with that kind of, especially, did you see how, I mean, George was with him in Colombia. George,
yeah,
he is so skinny.
We did a Gran Fondo. Oh no, he looks exactly like when he was racing. We did a Gran Fondo in Bogota. And to my credit, it was at like 8,000 feet, and we're coming to the final climb of like 6 kilometers. It's not a very tough climb, but everybody's like, "Hey, let's ride up together." He's not even breathing. I'm already like at 180 heart rate. We haven't even started the climb. I'm like, "No, I'll just see you at the finish line, brother." All good. But he was fingers in the nose, super easy. But how many times did Valverde win Fletch Wallonne?
To me, it looks like he won it 5 times. One, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 times. That's quite impressive to win 5 times Fletch Wallonne. Yes,
very impressive. But I think, like we mentioned earlier, we need to give our friend of the show, Søren Craig Anderson, a shout out. What an incredible solo move. Perhaps a bit too early, but really just putting it all out there. And I think he's going to build his confidence for the future races.
That was an amazing performance. I think, you know, obviously it's easier said after the race, but, you know, if he waits for another lap, the way he was going and the way he was taking time on the bunch by himself, and they were racing behind him. And very, very impressive actually also to see a guy like him having focused on assisting Van der Poel in the cobbled classics and being there in this kind of race. I think that's an impressive performance.
Yeah, we saw the teams that had the favorites like UAE, Ineos, DF Education was doing a lot of work. Surprisingly, Uno X had 6 guys there at the end, but I think it's just an interesting build up to, you know, the final classic of the year, Liège Bastogne Liège, which we didn't have Pogacar yet, so he's going to be thrown in the mix with a clearly strong UAE team, which they fell apart today, I think mainly because of the weather, but I'm sure that they'll all be back at the front on Sunday.
Yeah. Actually, I have to correct, Valverde and Alaphilippe have a tie on the fastest time. Alaphilippe also won it 3 times.
Speaking of Liège, I can't help myself. I got to check the weather this weekend. Says it's just cloudy and cool, although there's rain leading up to it. So who knows? Well,
this morning they started in sunny conditions.
And then it started to clear up again towards the end. But when you guys know this, when you get cold, it's hard. Especially now. Look, these guys are so lean and so skinny and so small. I mean, when you get cold, I mean, those guys are still cold. The race has been done for an hour. They're still sitting around shivering.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, not only that, we don't really talk about it open or often, but just the simple things of cycling, how everybody keeps their rain bag stacked. I know, Lance, you were always very particular about what you had in your rain bag in the back of the car. Who got to touch it? Who got to go after it? But the main thing is these guys got it all dialed in, where they have the rain gloves, the rain jackets, rain vests, rain arm warmers, hats. And they were using pretty much everything they had in their arsenal today to stay warm.
You know, George, you cannot imagine. I mean, a race like today, the chaos it is in the team cars.
Yes. Yeah.
Find those bags. This guy wants this. This guy wants this. This. I mean, well,
I remember Lance on the radio. No, I want the blue one. The blue one. And Johan Beck, there's 4 rain jackets here. Which one do you want? The blue one, size medium. Get me that one. I'm not the back one. Just grab me any rain jacket. Yeah. I'm sick of this. I got to get back up there.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, Johan's favorite story when he went to go check, because you're supposed to have a spare pair of shoes in there, which most of the guys do. If not all. And I did. I had a spare pair of shoes. Unfortunately, and he was just checking on a rest day, my spare pair of shoes did not have, they were not cleated up. So imagine you're like, "Oh, fuck, I broke a cleat. Yo, on, bring me a spare right shoe." And you pull this thing out and you're like, I know he feels good, but I don't know how this is going to go for him. I
don't know. Yeah, I know you guys shared a story about Lance earlier, but what was your absolute worst memory of I'm cold, I'm miserable, doubting why you do the sport? I mean, just absolute rock bottom. What was your experience in your career? Which day was the worst, given the weather?
Gee, who are you asking?
Me?
All of you. Go with you. Yeah, George, go ahead.
My worst was racing here in California, 2008, from I think Monterey to St. Louis Obispo. It was on the one. It was a headwind. It was about 40 degrees, pouring rain like today, but just that wind off the coast was about as cold as it gets. And I was in the breakaway all day from kilometer, I think 10. It was a 230 kilometer day, very long stage, maybe 250. Feeling great. Like, was in a breakaway where guys that I was almost 100% certain I could beat all of them in the sprint. And like what we saw today, I think I barely had half of a water bottle in 250 kilometers. You just couldn't drink. Like, and I tried to eat what I could, but you can't properly, provide the proper nutrition on a day like that. And 20K to go, the brakes start splitting up. I'm feeling pretty good. And then all of a sudden, like, my legs are just rubber. And I mean, I ended up getting second on the stage, but I crawled to the finish line. It was the coldest, toughest day.
Was that 2009, George?
I think it was 2008. No, it might've been 2009. Actually,
I think it was 2008. That's because that was the day, Johan, you'll remember this day. If I would have gone first, I would have picked that day. And by the way, we're talking about the Tour of California, right? So the world thinks, golly gee, that'd be cool. Like, I don't need to race in the Ardennes, but man, Tour of California, that sounds lovely. Fuck that. It was so cold
and windy.
And I thought I had something. Remember, Johan, I thought I had something in my shoe. I said, I have something in my shoe. Anyways, my big toe on my right foot had just, I don't know if it was dying or something. It felt like I guess when you get cold and your toe starts to die, it felt like I had a rock in my shoe. And I said, I got to pull over. And man, sure enough, took that shoe cover off, I'm like, fuck, there was nothing in there. Just a dead toe. Like, I was like, okay, that sucks. Oh, now, man, I'm dropped. I got to chase back on. Chechu was waiting with me. I was, and of course, this is 2009 for me, so didn't need to be there, chose to be there. I'm like, what am I doing again?
That's what I was wondering, if it drove you to literally think, why do I do this?
Now, whose idea was it? Oh, my idea. Okay, you idiot.
Victor Hugo Peña, our counterpart there on the La Movida, he went back to the team car and put on a ski jacket in the middle of the race. He was that cold.
Johan, as a Belgian, you probably never had a bad day in the cold.
I have many, many, many. I mean, you know, I grew up in Belgium racing bikes. So, I mean, I can't particularly point out one, but I remember many days that I came home from training basically and having to wait like 30 minutes to be able to even get into the shower because your feet were so cold and you couldn't even have, even cold water felt warm on your frozen feet. So that, I mean, yeah, growing up in Belgium and being a cyclist makes you tough. Definitely. Yeah.
And that's the thing, folks. If this sounds all weird to you and you go out for whatever reason soon and get that cold, don't go jump in a hot shower. That is the worst. Like, that's your brain is saying, get me in a hot shower. But when you're that cold and that frozen, especially the extremities, do not get in a hot shower. You will live to regret it. Like, let it, I mean, what I've found, if you do get that cold, is if you have any kind of fireplace where you just keep some distance and the body starts to warm up, then you can get in the hot shower. Don't go jump in that hot shower. You'll be screaming in pain.
I say many times, like, my son is racing in the young categories, and you know, that sometimes they have a training day and it's cold and the kids are complaining and the parents here in Spain say, oh, it's so cold. I said, you guys don't know what it's cold. You know, and you've never ridden in the cold.
You're one of those guys, are you?
Yes, I
couldn't even carry my suitcase.
And like you guys, you mentioned the equipment is a lot better for the cold weather these days than it was certainly back in your day, Johan, but even from our day until now.
What do you mean certainly in my day? We raced together, my friend.
Yes. But clothing evolves every year. So I had a few more years than you after you stopped.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. We have Liège, Bastogne-Liège coming up this weekend. Another great race. Loved this race. But before we go, JB, I think we have a little, our friends over at Ventum are back at it, giving away free stuff. Like I said earlier.
Very generous, our friends.
I mean, who doesn't like what I said earlier, right? I mean, you got to live it. Cheap is neat. Free is for me. Well, how about a free bike?
A full Ventum NS1 could be yours. And you can still have time to register. Do it now while you're thinking about it. And this is going to be open from now through the Giro, and then we'll give away that NS1. Go to ventumracing.com/the move, but it's the dash move. I just want to make sure people get it right. ventumracing.com/the dash move. So
those sneaky devils.
Yeah. Just hop on there. Doesn't cost you anything. Register. You could be rocking a new NS1.
Cool. All right. I'll see you guys. Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday.
Great.
Prediction, guys. We all got it wrong for Flesh Malone. So
I did. Yeah. I stayed out of it. So I didn't get it wrong. I mean, how do you not pick Pogacar?
Yeah.
Sunday.
I know. Pidcock's on form. Pidcock's on form.
No, but this is no. It's like 500s versus the 125s. I mean,
Pogacar. The only unknown is that Pogacar hasn't raced since Catalunya, but you know, but he doesn't
seem to matter to him.
Exactly. And he sounds super confident. He just comes fresh off an altitude camp, says that he's feeling great. So yeah.
I'd love to see, what about Vanderpool? The climbs are too steep, too long, but he's been riding so good. I would not, count him out.
I mean, but when Pogi goes, it's,
I don't know, man. I don't know. I heard a story yesterday, Lance, about Vanderpool. I mean, it's already a few years ago. I think it was the first year of the COVID races, like when they were at the end of the season, and he managed to get sixth in his first participation. And he had done the tour of Benelux the day before, had won that an 87 kilometer solo ride the day before, won the stage straight to Liège-Bastogne-Liège, got sixth without knowing the parcours. And somebody said to me yesterday, he said, you know, if he would have known the last climb, La Côte Faucon Rocheau, or what's it called? Mm-hmm. Rocher au Faucon. he would have been with the first six guys, because Pogacar won that year.
In a sprint.
From a sprint with six guys, I think.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll see. I don't know exactly what Vanderpool was. I mean, he probably was a bit off in Amstel Gold Race. Probably took it a little bit more relaxed after Paris-Roubaix and Flanders. But I suspect he's going to be 100% on Sunday.
I don't think he was recovered from Roubaix. And that was his main thing from Amstel. Just the damage he did to his body in Roubaix takes a while, but hopefully he's recovered for Liège.
I'm picking Pogacar.
Me too.
All right. George. I'm picking Vanderpool.
Okay.
Good.
Ebi, who do you pick?
Let me throw another one out there. I don't know. I think Pidcock's gonna recover. He's on form and he's gonna recover.
Be a great story. That'd be a great story.
Especially after another Brit one today. He's like, wait a minute. He just stole all my thunder after last week.
Yeah. Yeah, good. That's right. Good week for the Brits. Dang. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys Sunday.